Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
And we've been talking a little bit about relationships, and we want to continue talking about relationships.
Always.
Right. We enjoy reviewing information that we use a lot in therapy that we appreciate that helps couples a lot. And so we've kind of been feeling we want to stay on this helping couples. And so today and the next episode will be about helping couples to build trust and commitment in relationships.
Yes. And we're going to lean heavily or almost exclusively on John Gottman's work. Right. If you'll recall, he is kind of the premier researcher on couples and relationships. He has done so much work in his love lab, and he's studied over 3,000 couples in the last four decades. So this is just phenomenal research that we have that we can rely on, and that is giving us so much really helpful, important data as we look at how do couples build trust? How do they maintain commitment or build it? How do they invest in their relationship? Basically, what makes a good couple work?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of talking honestly about problems and issues and things in relationships.
Yes, let's talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Gottman's Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, mm-hmm. but again, even that is
what you're doing wrong.
Right. So
don't do this.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
I'm just talking about what healthy relationships need and how they thrive.
Mm-hmm. And I think as we talk about that, the number one thing that he says that you need in a relationship is trust.
Does that sound familiar?
Right. Like, I think that's...
We've probably said that how many times?
Yes.
In this podcast, so...
Yep. And I think most people can get that,
right?
That's like a pretty solid, yes.
Yep.
Trust is a really critical component of relationship and of marriage. So can I trust you to be there for me when I'm upset?
Right.
Can I trust you to choose me over your friends or your family? Can I trust you to respect me?
Right.
Right? Trust is critical.
And we've even talked levels of trust. And
yes.
So
I was just going to say that.
Good.
So if you want to go back to that and refer to that episode where we talk about the different levels of trust, the different areas of trust, right? Because trust isn't just like I've gained trust. That means this person trusts me in all of these
right.
8 million areas, right? There's so many ways. And also when trust is lost, like it is going to damage other areas at some level, but, there still can be trust in these levels.
Right.
And we talk about that, for example, like with betrayal, like I can still trust you maybe to go to work, or I can still maybe trust you to pick up the kids on time, or I can still maybe trust you to, pay the bills.
Right.
Or whatever specifically, and again, some of those things go down in some areas, but typically there are still areas in which you can trust that person.
Yep.
So trust is not just a on or off switch. There are lots of different levels, lots of different areas. So go check that episode out if you don't remember it or didn't catch it. But today we're going to talk about how you can build trust and cultivate that trust and understand that, you know, good marriages don't just happen on their own.
Right.
They
have to be cultivated. And it's okay if your marriage needs work. It doesn't mean you're with the wrong person because there's a lot of work here to do.
Yes.
We really don't know each other that well dating as much as we would like to.
I mean, yes.
I suppose if you dated for a very long time.
A very, very, very long time.
You probably know them better. But every relationship just needs work.
Yeah.
And you have to be open to that.
Yes. That's a really critical component. In fact, that's a little bit what we were talking about before we were had decided what we were going to work on and what we wanted to talk about today is just how often we're not willing to put in the work. We just want it to, oh, well, we've got a problem. Well, you know, in our culture, it's, you know, cancel culture.
Yeah.
Like, you're out of here. Yep. You're toxic. You're this, you're that. And you're not willing to engage with people and put in the work and the energy to resolve issues and to gain understanding. And unfortunately, that's what actually builds deeper relationship.
Right.
Right. Just like they do consumer studies with, they've done a bunch of consumer studies and found that, I think we've talked about this before, but I can't remember for sure, where they found that it actually works better. People are more loyal to a company if something minor goes wrong and then it is fixed immediately. It's like the company really leans into their customer service and fixes the issue and whatever. And so there's actually more loyalty, more trust, more depth of relationship in that company and the client if there is something that goes wrong and it's fixed. So a lot of companies will do that. They'll have small things that intentionally break so that you come in, so that you'll come in and then they do that part of it. And then you're much more loyal, right? That's not what we're going to do in a relationship. Please don't do that.
Just intentionally makes perfect sense.
Intentionally blowing it so that you can have a deeper relationship.
Small,
small.
Well, that makes sense. You have a sense of accomplishment. You problem solved together.
Yes.
You came together around
someone,
a problem.
Yes. And someone was loyal and willing to take accountability and willing to, you know. And so, yes,
right.
Obviously it's not a perfect, you know, parallel situation. But I think the idea, though, is that it's through the hard and the work that we actually connect and build deeper, more satisfying, more vulnerable relationships.
Definitely. And we can all attest to that being true. So I like that.
For sure.
I mean, imagine couples who are expressing appreciation for each other. They brag about each other's talents,
yes,
achievements. They say, I love you every day.
Yeah.
This idea that you have an anxious concern for the well-being of your partner.
Yes.
Because you want to, because they...
they matter.
They matter. They're important to you.
Yeah. And it gets rough, like even in, you know, when things get heavy and heated and escalated. But if you can show up, if couples can show up and still consider the other person's perspective and empathize, even if they don't necessarily agree, they can see where their partner's coming from, right? They're there for them when they're sick, where there's times of stress and, you know, job loss or all of these different things.
Like we've talked about,
huge.
We've talked about with empathy.
Yes. Empathy
first of all,
skills.
Yeah. You don't have to agree to have empathy and understanding, because if you think about, I need your support even when I'm not doing well, if I'm going to feel like you really love me. If I only get your support when everything is going well, it doesn't feel like love or acceptance. It feels like other things.
Yes.
So we have to keep that in mind. These healthy couples, let's say, one of the phrases, they understand that the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. Where's it greener?
Where you water it.
Where you water it. Okay, that kind of implies some control here.
Yes.
We get to choose where we water.
Yep. And I love that you brought up the empathy skills, because, again, we've got episodes on that. I love how we're like doing this. And we're like, oh, this connects, this healthy thing connects to this episode we did in this episode.
That's because we've had so many
episodes. I know, we've had so many episodes. So definitely go back if you don't remember the empathy skills or you haven't done them. These are phenomenal, and they aren't just for couples. You can use them with other people too. But it is a beautiful way to learn how to empathize with someone when you don't necessarily agree, but you care about them and you right. want to understand their perspective and understand where they're coming from. So definitely jump on that.
Yeah.
As part of your where you're going to water your grass.
I like it. So if your grass is a little dry or maybe maybe dead, it's hard. You're going to water the grass and maybe find some other things are growing and not the grass that used to be there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a lawn now.
Yes.
But yep, you can water it. So how do we do this and what does trust have to do with this? Well, how do we build trust, first of all?
Yeah, because that's a whole thing in and of itself.
It's a lot more subtle than we probably give it credit for. It's very small moments.
Yeah.
And in any interaction, probably every interaction, there is possibility of connecting with your partner or turning away from your partner. And the sad thing is we tend to take each other for granted. Mm-hmm. And so it's maybe a little easier to turn away from.
Yeah.
Based on your mood, how you're feeling. But even that little moment is opportunity or missed opportunity.
Yeah. It's definitely not this big grand gesture type of a thing.
Right.
These are small moments. If you love Brené Brown, you'll know about her jar and all of the little pieces, little pebbles and that you put in there as you build your trust jar. Right? It's not some big huge thing.
Right.
Again, sometimes we struggle too because we think, okay, well, I messed up maybe in this little moment and now it's all over, right? It's just like, let's not all or nothing thinking. It's not going to be some big grand gesture. It's going to be lots of little things. And so if you have maybe a time that you didn't show up well, that's okay. You can consistently make a difference and you can come back. Again, like our consumer example, right? You can come back and fix that,
right?
Repair that, move forward. So it's not just one moment that's the important thing.
Right.
It's consistency. If you're consistently turning away from your partner, if you're consistently turning toward, right, you're going to either have eroded trust very gradually and slowly, or you're going to build trust gradually
right.
and slowly.
Right. This reminds me also of, we've talked about with Gottman, the 5-to-1 ratio.
Yes, yes, yes.
So 5 compliments to every criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you don't maintain at least that 5-to-1, your relationship's in trouble. And that makes sense because if we're not doing a 5-to-1 or mostly good to every not so good, what happens is the story of the relationship begins to turn negative. So you're focusing on your partner's flaws. You don't pay as much attention. You forget about their traits you admire, you value, and they begin to take on this mostly negative, mostly maybe inadequate, mostly failure kind of an image in your mind, which you can imagine the impact that's going to have on the relationship.
Yeah, and on the trust, for sure. Yeah, we notice what we pay attention to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they may not be very good at, let's say, cleaning or organizing. So imagine if you are focused on cleaning and organizing, you're going to see all sorts of things that they're not doing very well.
Right.
But if we're saying, okay, I want to balance this, they may not be very good at this, but 5-to-1, oh, this is going to be really tough, but let me see if I can see what I appreciate or what they do well. Well, guess what you're going to find? Other things.
Yes.
And it'll help to balance so that you're not seeing this so one-sided.
Right.
Because they do other things and they do a lot of good things.
Right.
But if we're hyper-focused on, well, the kitchen, I'm always, you know, the kitchen's not very clean very often. Mm-hmm. I'll miss a lot of the other little things because of my focus and my attention.
Yeah. Yes. And again, gradually shifting that or changing that, improving that is going to build the relationship gradually, build that trust gradually.
Right.
So I think over time, if you are having that negativity and you start focusing on the kitchen, you start focusing on those things, you'll kind of start making negative comparisons. where you're comparing your spouse to someone else, real or imagined, and you think, I can do better. Right? I remember a story from one of my professors 20 whatever years ago in my program. And they were talking about this very thing, and talking about that she was talking about that her husband did not take out the trash, and that she remembered taking the trash out one day, pulling it down to the side of the road, and just like kind of going through her head and all the things, like, I can't believe this. And then kind of having this moment where she realized, oh my goodness, I'm doing this negative comparison thing. I'm kind of throwing him under the bus with this one thing when there are so many wonderful things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I was to get a new spouse, like, maybe they'd be an expert garbage taker outer, but are they going to be as kind and compassionate toward my children? Are they going to be as thoughtful and considerate? Or, you know, all of these things that she loved about her husband. And I think you're right. I think it'd be very easy to start getting into that, that space of just, oh, well, you know, this is terrible. I could do better. Aren't they?
Sad.
Yeah. Everyone is going to have their wonderful list of great things that they're great at, and a wonderful list of things that they're not great at.
Yes. And if we become overly focused on those things, maybe because they're really important to us, which is fair. I may be organized and my wife isn't organized, so that's going to stand out to me more. But we still have to be very careful not to fall into this kind of one-track mind, laser-focused on this thing and miss everything else.
Yeah. Or allow it to go into a space where we're looking where the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, or somewhere else other than our yard.
Right.
I think one of the effects of not of doing this and getting that negative comparison space and starting to think, oh, I could do better, or whether you're comparing it to someone who's real or imagined, is then you start this pattern when you have that of not committing, not as being as committed to the relationship.
Right. Naturally, you back away. Yep.
Yeah. You start, you know, nagging them or bad talking them instead of really leaning into a space of cherishing them, because they're not showing up the way that you're hoping that they will.
Right.
Right. And that then leads to resentment instead of gratitude. Right. So it's this negative spiral that can start, and it can go pretty quickly, I think.
Yep.
If you're really leaning into that space of negative comparisons.
Yes, it definitely can. So what we want to do is we want to talk a little bit about how to be intentional. We want to talk about what are things you can do specifically. So I hope this has got you thinking about relationships and healthy relationships. We want to explore 5 things specifically, 5 ways to invest in your relationship in the next episode. So please stay tuned and have notepad and paper. This will be good.
Join us then. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.